Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Ulysses Butch Slaughter here. Welcome to a special edition of Sex and the Struggle. It is the 24th of August, 2017, and it's a special edition because if you are listening to me, you could be listening to me anytime, quite frankly. But if you ever listen to me live, I do this on Tuesday night with some of my good friends, Frenchie Davis, David Freeman, Tazima Davis. Periodically, we get my brother Adem, and we're doing it on Tuesday night. Well, I'm on a Thursday night, and it's a special edition because I get an opportunity to talk to a special person this evening. In preparation for Sex and the Struggle, I want my audience to know who's showing up. And I'm about to say her name, and every time I get ready to say her name, I almost want to laugh because... let me just say it. It's my pleasure to have Patty Pleasure. Patty Pleasure Harris. She goes by Patricia Pleasure Harris. She goes by Pleasures.
Thank you.
And so every time I say my pleasure, or she says my pleasure, it just puts a smile on my face. Had an opportunity to meet you. A couple weeks ago, a colleague of ours told me about you. You and I hopped on the phone. We talked. And it wasn't long before I was like, hey, I got to meet the sister. And I got to get her involved with Sex and the Struggle, not just the event, but I want to get her involved with Sex and the Struggle as a mission. I want to be in her world. I want her in my world because... this mission to increase sex, intimacy, and pleasure in the lives of so many other people is, I just think it's incredibly important. And I'm glad that you and I had a chance to meet, and I want to formally welcome you to Sex and the Struggle. Thank you for being
Thank
here.
Thank you. Thank you. It is my honor to be a guest and to lend myself to your audience.
Hey, did you actually, like, were you trying to avoid saying it is my pleasure, you know, because you...
I did.
You
I did.
Okay. All right.
I did. I did. I definitely gave you a little bit of space on that one, but I see you didn't take it, but that's okay. I tried to
no,
get
I'm
out.
Not. I'm not biting, sister. I am not biting.
I appreciate you enjoying the name, though. It definitely is doing its job, which is to put a smile on people's face first and not to necessarily lend a erotic tone to people when they meet me. It's more so for people to understand what my intentions are. I'm always about the end result, and the end result is pleasure.
Yeah, yeah. I interviewed Dr. Betsy Crane about 2 weeks ago, and I was sitting in her office, and I showed her a draft of the promotional flyer for Sex and the Struggle. And just so that my audience knows, Sex and the Struggle, it's a multifaceted intimacy experience where we're going to be advocating social healing through sexual healing. We're doing this September the 16th, 2017, in Chester City at 7 p.m. And if you go to the Facebook page, Sex and the Struggle Facebook page, you'll see the Eventbrite link. You can get your tickets for Sex and the Struggle. Let's get it on. And so that's what's happening. Now, Chester City is where Widener University is located. And Widener University has the only human sexuality studies program that gives people a master's degree and a PhD in human sexuality. So I'm sitting there with Betsy Crane, who is a distinguished professor at Widener University, and I was showing her the flyer, and on it, it said, it asked the question, what are the struggles that keep you from having sex the way you want it? And I'd had money, religion, education, age, health, that thing. And then it had performance. Now, this was just a draft, but she looked at it and she said, you know, I think you should change that word performance to pleasure. And I thought absolutely, because I knew what I meant when I said performance, because some people have this notion around performance. And performance, you know, there's something about a performance
that's on
contrived.
It's like an act. Absolutely.
Versus pleasure. Pleasure is undeniable. Performance is questionable. pleasure
exactly.
is undeniable. Mm-hmm. So I go that way, and I want to get into who you are, how you got into this, why you got into this. I want the audience to know what you do. So let me start with the first question. What is
sure.
it that Patricia Pleasure Harris does?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
I am a concierge of intimate advice and sensual products. And I deliver these services via two mediums. One are pleasure parties, which is where I enter people's homes and or venues that they have plans for in advance to do for said purpose, and I entertain. I open up shows and or I simply am the event, and people sit down and they glean from me via me just spilling out the beans about pretty much my last 15 years of being with my husband now, and they just take a little bit of me with them. The other way is via my assistants, Mink and Shemaine, who are both stationed in Philadelphia, delivering on demand any erotic product that my customer can imagine that they're in need of.
So you do, and clean this up for me if you need to, but
sure.
you provide hands-on assistance, right? Mm-hmm. You do face-to-face
to a certain extent,
consultation.
I want you to go deeper. What do you mean by hands-on?
Well, I mean like okay. You
hey,
show up.
Hold up.
You actually show up, and you guide people. You consult face-to-face, right? So
absolutely.
People can actually.
Well, yes. Right. I can give you a scenario. I've had
okay.
clients call me, and typically it's a wife or, you know, and or a female. I've only consulted with probably two gentlemen, and I'll share those experiences because they matter. But nonetheless, and that's in all of my years of being pleasure, nonetheless, with, let's say it's a female woman, she would call me over and essentially just go, you know, vent pretty much about a relationship and whatnot. And I try to, first of all, let people know that sex toys will not repair your relationship and that I do lend my ear to go a little bit deeper psychologically into the issue. But I'm sorry, I lost my thought for one moment. But nonetheless, I sit with her and I'll discuss with her how I believe that, you know, besides what it is that she needs to know woman to woman, then I go into what she wants because her end result is that this man still has to come home tonight and that even though she knows that she has layers on top of layers of other things to repair, you should still get to the intimacy of it now.
Mm.
You should never stall, and I never tell people to use not being intimate with their partner as punishment, and that's a whole nother conversation, I'm sure, but I'm sure that it hits right exactly to what you appreciate about who I am and what I do, because I don't just allow people just to buy some toys and go about their business and make sure I tell them what size batteries to use. I go a little bit further than that. Now, in reference to hands-on, that's about as hands-on as it gets. The gentleman example works well for me to explain why I don't go but so far and how far it is that I have gone. Years ago, I had one gentleman call me, and he and I happened to still be good friends. And he called me because he'd just been released from prison after being in prison for over 25 some odd years.
Mm.
And he essentially found that when he was with a woman, he would immediately orgasm. Like, he could just touch her and it would just happen. And he found this to become embarrassing. And so I gave him some tips on how to basically begin to strengthen his ability to not and mentally and physically, you know, and it worked well for him. And so he and I, just through conversations and him just getting used to being near a woman and it being non-intimate and verbally speaking to a woman about intimate issues, in itself strengthened his resolve, and he was able to overcome that. But nonetheless, the latter incident with the gentleman is what made me stop really doing any consultations at homes. And it was the fact that unless I was traveling with security, it just wasn't a good idea. So the next gentleman called me over for what I thought would be just a general consultation. But in the end, he wanted simply for me to accept an hourly fee to sit there and just watch him masturbate. And that was basically his kick. That was his fetish. And that's fine with me. But that's not what my business was built for.
Yeah.
And so there you go.
And so you will actually physically show up and help.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then you also have people who can deliver products for you, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you have a website that people can go to. And that website, I believe, is Pleasures with a Z,
yes.
PLEAZURES.biz. So anybody who's listening, you can go to Pleasures. Again, it's PLEAZURES.biz. That's where you can
yes.
find out more about the
B-I-Z.
Products and services.
Right.
Dot
you got
biz
it.
Thing. Yep, yep. And so you have to have a particular disposition, a particular patience, a particular love, a particular commitment to this kind of work. Talk to us about that commitment. I mean, my guess is that people are listening, and you and I have been doing a particular kind of work. This isn't necessarily always about the time that we spend in work. It's about the quality of work that we spend and the disposition that we bring to the work. Who do you have to be, Pleasure? Who do you have to be to show up for people who need such an incredible range of attention
mm-hmm.
and direction? Talk
mm-hmm.
to us about who you have to be. Who do you have to be?
Right.
In order
I totally get that question. I mean, when you say it, it's so crazy because it keeps hitting me like one particular way. And I believe that my answer will answer whether or not I understood it correctly. You
mm-hmm.
have to be super. I have to be super in my super confident place. Like, I have to literally, because understand that I'm still a wife, I'm still a mother,
mm-hmm.
and every day
mm-hmm.
for me is just as regular as it is for anybody else. We all have our cross to bear. So there are times when I still have to get up to go do an event that I've been prepaid for, regardless of how happy my household is, regardless of how happy I am with my spouse, regardless of whether or not I've had sex in the last week or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to walk in there, and I have to put on a presentation that is truthful and honest, yet at the same time is entertaining, you know, for the purpose of whatever the event is. So
mm-hmm.
if I'm hearing you correctly, like, it's exactly that. It's confident, but it's confident in who I am, you know,
right.
not confident in who anybody else is expecting to walk in that room. And I think
right.
that would probably be your next question is about, you know, where did this all sprout from? Basically, my answer is being confident in my belief in all of that. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
letting nothing shake who I believe I am as a woman, you know?
Yeah, and we live in a particular society where people are viewed a particular way, men and women alike. When we make a commitment
right.
to sex, intimacy, and pleasure, when we say that we are going to take this work on, this mission on,
right.
There's a lot that comes with it. And
mm-hmm.
you said it, like you're a mom, I'm a dad.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And there are relationships that we have to manage related
mm-hmm.
to our work. Outside of our work,
mm-hmm.
we have to manage other
mm-hmm.
relationships. You know, I still have
right.
to show up at parent-teacher conferences.
Right.
You know,
you have
I
internal
have to,
and external customers of you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I've
mm-hmm.
got. But this is part of my life. This is what I'm committed
mm-hmm.
to. And so
mm-hmm.
when people, what are you thinking of your customers, the people that you serve, when they have these range of needs? So this is another way of asking the same question, but, you know, a person who gets out of prison, been in prison for however many years, or a person who's been a wife who might have just been deprived, or a
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A wife or a husband who's just not being satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
the types
mm-hmm.
of customers that you engage
mm-hmm.
are
right.
unlimited. So
absolutely.
What is your approach when you are dealing with them? Tell me about the qualities, the characteristics that you have to have when you're dealing with people with
here
so much
go.
Range.
And I know that you have been here before. So I'm going to say something that not everybody gets to experience. Have
mm-hmm.
you ever been in a room full of people and you had all the answers? It felt like you were like the one and everybody mm-hmm. knew it. They knew it. They were looking straight through you, and no matter what you said, like, you knew that it was real. Like, you ever felt that before and ever?
Yes.
Okay. That's that confidence, I'm sure, that I'm referring to. And yep. I know people may say, you're being humble right now. No, 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 no. This is deeper than humble. This is spiritual. Okay?
Yep.
So what happens is I'm in that room with those people, and I get to feel, it's almost like I can hear their soul screaming to me through them without them even speaking, saying, please say what I need you to say. Like, I'm here to hear what I need you to hear you say. And sometimes that's not good news, like, that I need to say to them. But when I say it, they meet me on the side of the room, and I'm going to give you, this is how my pleasure parties go. I don't speak through me just talking to people about, hypothesis I come up with. I give them exact metaphors. So I'm going to give you one now. I did a pleasure party Saturday that just passed at the Hyatt downtown, and it was a lingerie party. So these ladies are stripped down all the way down to their most intimate goods. The most they have on is heels, okay? Mm. And they're beautiful, room full of women. And, of course, I'm doing everything from anal to oral, explaining to them how to get the best out of their partner and themselves. But then I mentioned something about my girlfriend who was in the room. I took with me to the particular party the young lady that my husband and I are dating. And that's all another conversation, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
So when I mentioned her in the room, due to a parallel that I was trying to get across, a woman in the room gleaned from that and then met me in a corner. And a conversation went so quickly from her just being, how can I put it, candid about a toy that was for sale. And then she jumped right into, listen, like, I'm dating these two guys, and one of them is a Rastafarian, and I really like him, but he wants me to drop my Christianity, and he wants me to be what he wants me to be. And, he mentioned that I can have a helper wife who can be like you just mentioned, and I just never thought that I can do that because the other guy that I'm with, right, I have my children with, but he's with another woman, and they're with a child now, so I don't know if I should take him back. And I'm just like, you see how deep it goes?
Oh, absolutely.
You see how deep it gets like that in seconds. And But I want to address everything that she's feeling, because even if I didn't have this personal experience myself, because of women sharing with me their experiences and me actually opening up an opportunity for them to stay in touch with me, I get to know a lot of the outcomes. And so I'm able, if I don't have the personal experience, I'm able to at least shed some advice based on another previous situation that I've heard as a prerequisite. So nonetheless, I had to, I could not stand in that moment with that young lady and give her the conversation that she needed. So I simply spoke with her gently, gave her some closure, and then asked her to give me a call as soon as possible so that I can provide to her a conversation that I believe that she needs. And hopefully she'll call one day and not just jump the gun and think, because my life seems all peachy, that it'll work out just right for her.
Absolutely.
And that's her answer to becoming that woman,
Yeah. This is wonderful. And I'm going to ask you to come back. This is a special edition for a special person, folks. This is Ulysses Butch Slaughter. I'm with my growing good friend, Patricia Pleasure Harris. And we're talking about the work that she does as Pleasures. If you want to learn more about her, you can go to her website. It's pleasures.biz. That's pleasure, PLEAZURES.biz. Pleasure is going to be joining me for Sex and the Struggle, September the 16th, 2017, at MJ Free Theater in Chester, Pennsylvania. It's the first installment of Sex and the Struggle. We call it Sex and the Struggle, Let's Get It On, because we're going to be talking about getting it on. And
there you go.
One of the things that I loved about encountering you, you've mentioned, I think you've said the word spirit a couple times, and I love that. I love it when people understand that there is no distinction between sexuality and spirituality. I think that's
there
really what fucks some people up, is that they keep trying to
separate
one from
the conversations.
The other.
Yo, we said the same thing. That's awesome. That's confirmation. Yep.
It is. I mean, it's like you keep trying to separate that, and by separating it, it causes a problem, which brings me to another question for you. And we got about 10 minutes, but I'm telling you, I'm going to have you back. We're going to do other podcasts. we family now, sister. So it's
absolutely.
Just, this is just
you
what it
me.
Is. here's the thing that I see really messes people up sometimes. It's judgment, self-judgment, external judgment. Talk to me about how pleasure deals with customers and the issue of judgment, self-judgment, internal judgment, and external judgment.
Now, are we discussing them placing judgment upon me, or are we referring to what I've gleaned from their own struggles?
Their own, yes. Yeah. So when people come to you and they're trying to get a breakthrough, what kind of things do you hear them struggling with?
Right, whether it's internal, external. Okay,
that's right. That's right.
Cool beans. Well, the most prevalent issue that's brought in front of me has to do with young ladies never really ever having an orgasm and or not knowing if they did.
Mm.
And just as easy as that statement rolls off their tongue, a large percent of them speak about having sex very early, very, very early, engaging in actual sexual activity way before, like, I'm talking 11, 12, 13, 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have some that discuss inappropriate behaviors, molestations, things of those sorts, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that may have led them to either go within themselves and just not be able to, you know, share in that space with someone, and or some of them become promiscuous. And so the original example that I use, you didn't ask me how I take care of it. That's just one of the issues. But it's like layered, you know, and a lot of, you know, that's the funny thing is I'm finding that a lot of everything is layered, which is what's so amazing about you and what you're bringing forth, because I feel like we need a little bit of everybody that's going to be on that panel in our lives. You know what I mean? Everybody, especially us at once you hit these 30s, these 40s, like, and you really begin to realize who you are and you've learned so much about those relatives of yours that have passed on in recent however times, and you hear all the secrets and things that people have been holding on to, you get to learn a lot more about yourself and why you are the way you are, and you get these repressed, you know, feelings and memories. So with all that being said, though, that's just one that I get a lot of. Besides that, I get a lot of women trying to be someone different as, you know, as opposed to who they truly are, like whatever the guy wants. For instance, like the woman mentioned about the Rastafarian, you know, like she wants to appreciate him, but she doesn't want to lose, you know, change her religion for it. So, you know, those kind of circumstances. A lot of times I find that my clients are always putting sex on the plate first before really getting to know the person, and therefore it's all forced to a certain extent. And it's hard for me to teach a person how to get a true orgasm if they're having forced sex. Whether they think they're laying there intentionally and that they know that they said yes to this experience, their body didn't say yes to the experience. And I have to go all the way back to teaching about, I have to go back to pheromones and, you know, describing, like, the first tip I can give you about sex is if it doesn't smell right, taste right, look right, feel right, it's not right. Like, you shouldn't be doing it. It's forced. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if I overdid that question.
You didn't overdo that question. You did that question quite justice. And one of the things that you said that I think is quite true around this whole process is that people need, when we do sex in the struggle, when we have forms like this, it's great to have a diverse collection of people who are relatable to as many people as possible. I always say there's no one size fits all. And we have to, this is where the judgment thing comes into play, because if a lot of times when people can't relate to other people's experience,
one
of the first thing they do is they judge. And, you know, it's like, you're not a Christian, you're not this, and there you go. They attack.
Okay, so in reference to pleasures, where judgment has ever occurred in my arena, literally is at the pleasure parties. When I'm speaking to a client one-on-one, it's typically them just talking about exactly what they're going through. They just want to fix to whatever's not working right for them at the moment. And it's normally not about judgment. I never, ever have gotten, like, my husband thinks I'm freaky because I want to try this. I've never gotten that. However, back in the day when pleasures was getting away from me, and that's a whole nother topic where I was pretty much turned into a madam, and got myself away from it before I got caught up. But nonetheless, in that season of pleasures, I saw some things. I saw the pastors. I saw the mayor assistants. I saw, you know, the CEOs and the ones with the Mercedes-Benzes walking into the corner bar, going upstairs to the champagne room and paying this $10 to smut and walking out with wedding rings on their finger. I've seen things, you know, that I had to that I had to literally overcome personal issues for, and I had to not be judgmental because I'm feeding the industry at that time. You understand? So, but then I begin to judge myself, but that's a whole nother topic, and that's the reason why we're no longer doing those particular services. Nonetheless, at the parties, when I mention just anal pleasures and the fact that both men and women can both heterosexual men, you know what I'm saying, can experience great pleasure from his woman giving him anal tease and anal pleasure and even penetration. And some women go off, some just clap their hands. I've had men who were at the party when we did co-ed run to my feet and just sit at my feet, because I always sit in like a dominatrix style dress with my legs crossed. And they just run and sit at my feet like say, and then that's when the women who have anything to say shut up, because they realize that they talk too much. And that's also one of the points I bring up at my party. That's how I shut it down. I'll say something like, you can pleasure your partner from anal to oral, you know, and they'll go, anal, I ain't licking his ass. And I, you know, and then you can imagine where I go with that. And I go, that's your problem. You talk too much. And they sit back in their chair, and then the men like, yes, tell, you know, and that's all I got to do. As long as I'm confident, the room will respond favorably.
Yeah. I'm telling
judgment,
you, sister,
no, this ain't the place for it.
I'm so happy to have met you, and there's so much to learn. There's so much to spread. The more I promote sex in the struggle, the more is revealed to me. And as I'm listening to you talk about the judgment, the fear, the lack of just general education, you know, just basic,
that's
physical
exactly right.
Education, physiological chemistry. Yes. You know, there's so much to learn, and we shut it down out of fear. We shut it down because we were taught to, you know, religion, ethics, morals, whatever it is. We shut it down.
All of that, right?
And by shutting it down, we limit the amount of pleasure that we can experience. And pleasure for some people is a dirty word. And I'm like, no, pleasure is a beautiful word.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a beautiful word.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, we are coming up on the end of this special edition of Sex and the Struggle. And I've been joined by Patricia Pleasure Harris. If you're anywhere in the Philadelphia area, if you're within 2 hours of Philly, you need to get your ass to Sex and the Struggle so you can meet Patricia Pleasure Harris and the host of other wonderful guests that we're going to have that evening. And let's say that you miss it this time around. Trust me, we will be doing another one and another one and another one. And until then, I want you to check out Pleasure's website. That's Pleasure, PLEAZURES.biz. We are going to turn this thing into an MP3, and we want you to share it with your friends. We're going to send this out, Pleasure. We're going to let people share this with their friends, get this thing out there, and let people start to consider what it is that we're talking about. And, they'll be able to. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The more pleasure
each
in this
one,
world, the better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'm going to say that again. The more pleasure, and that means you, and pleasure, the more pleasure in the world, the better off this thing is going to be. I'm Ulysses Butch Slaughter. I want to bid you, my sister, good night. And I look forward to talking
good
with
night.
You again real soon. And to our listeners, thank you for joining Sex and the Struggle. We will be back on Tuesday. Have a good evening. Good night.